Hi everyone, welcome to the podcast. My guest today is Alexandra Plym. Alexandra is an Australian artist and she paints energetic and intuitive abstract landscapes. She describes her creative journey as a very DIY situation, which I absolutely love and relate to. From holding an open studio when she didn't even have a studio, to setting up her website from her phone using one hand while she was breastfeeding. This is an inspirational story. Alexandra has never waited for things to be perfect, nor for things to land in her lap. She is truly an inspiration, and I hope that you enjoy this conversation and get as much out of it as I did. Hi, Alexandra. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good.
I wanted to thank you for joining me on the podcast and giving up your time to have this chat. I'm super looking forward to it.
Oh, my pleasure.
I've spent a lovely morning this morning having a look at your website, your Instagram, and just soaking up all that you do. And I cannot wait. I have so many questions for you.
Oh, ask me.
But let's start from the beginning. I know that your first love is performance, and I'm fascinated by how you've transitioned into painting. So can you tell us about it?
By force, really. Ooh. By necessity.
Okay, well, that's interesting in itself.
Yeah. No, when I was a kid, I always pretty crafty little kids. We just, you know, drew on everything or made and sticked and glued and wooded and whatever we could, whatever we found in the garden or whatever. But it was pretty clear to me that I wanted to do performance, but of course that's not very practical. And I was very pliable. So my parents were like, well, why don't you go and do, you know, design for theatre, and you can, you're a very good organiser and you can go, which made a lot of sense. But of course you're like, no, I want to go to NIDA. Anyway, so I went off to Wagga Wagga and did a degree in design for theatre and television, so costume design, which was my sort of real interest, and then, you know, stage management and all that sort of stuff, which I did enjoy. But it became very clear to me very quickly that I really, really wanted to do performance even more. So I did. I then did performance after that. I went and did another advanced diploma in performance just to check that I could really do it. And then, you know, started doing that. But, of course, had a full-time job in retail, as you do, to support yourself. But I think when I was in Wagga, I think that's when I actually did my first landscape painting, when I think about it. Because I like the country. I mean, obviously I'm a city dweller and have been all my life, but the times that we've spent in the country, either on relatives' farms or going away on holidays or camping, you know, it's always, I really found it very romantic, not in like a romance sense, but romantic. Like I was imagining stories in my mind, and yeah, I really enjoyed that. So in Wagga, I think I did my first landscape of Pine Gully Road, which was where our sort of like uni living quarters looked over. I think I've painted quite a few Pine Gully Roads over the years. That was certainly the first one. And then I had a child and another one. And my husband travels a lot for his work. He's a DJ. Ironically, he was working behind the scenes too for TV. And then he was like, oh, I want to do DJing. I'm like, great, go for it. You know, fantastic. Let's make dreams come true. So now he's performing. He's performing as his job.
Yeah.
Which he never thought he'd do, but he's doing it. And that requires a lot of travel. So I'm at home with the kids, doubly not able to do, you know, long unpaid theatre projects and step off to do, you know, auditions for ads or whatever. I thought, oh my God, what am I going to do? I need to be doing something. I need to be creating something, whatever it is. And I'd always painted a little bit, like once a year or something for Christmas presents. I'd go out and get some canvases, or I'm always making cards. So, oh my God, so many cards, you know, hand painted or folding paper or whatever it was. And then this time I just didn't just get one canvas. I got four little canvases, you know, from the $2 shop. But at the time, financially, it was quite a stretch for every, you know, $5 canvas and the $5 paint that went with it. But I just, the next day, I went back and got more, and then more and more and more and more and more. And then I was addicted to painting.
So did you have any idea that you would go on to sell those paintings at that point, or were you?
Well, again, you know, it was, what are we going to do with all these paintings? You know, we've got to do something with them. And I'd started to paint over them, which was great, because at first, you know, you don't want to ruin the image. Like when I first started say in Wagga, like I didn't have a camera to take a photo of it. We didn't have iPhone cameras, or I didn't have an iPhone. Like, so you couldn't preserve that image. You just had to, it had to stay like that. Whereas now I can take a photo and go, nah, all right, I'll paint over it. But I've still got a record of that image, like if I wanted to refer back to it. So that's been really enabling. But then our entire house was covered in paintings. Every wall, they were stacked up against any, in front of fireplaces, like whatever was like not in the way, just stacks and stacks and stacks and stacks and stacks of canvases that were sort of starting to get up to sort of 90 by 90 centimetres, which is, you know, you get a few of those together and they take up quite a chunk of your house. And my husband was like, well, why don't you just start selling them, like just get a market stall or something at the local markets. And I was like, okay, great. And I'd been giving them away to anyone who came to dinner. I was like, I got, you know, friends and family have got so many of my paintings. Because what I didn't really know. I was like, do you want one of these? And like, yeah, great, we'll take one. Okay, great. Do you like that? Great, it's yours. Take it. People coming to dinner. Okay, great. Guys, now you're going home. Pick a painting. Take one with you. So I just got a little stall at our local markets in Marrickville, which is more a sort of food market. People go and they get their veggies and you know, look at sort of craft things. And there was, you know, muesli and honey and granola and cakes and a pony ride. So it's not really the perfect place to be selling art, but I just thought, oh, bugger it, let's do it. So I got a table for $50 in there. It wasn't a great investment, but I was like, yes, let's do it. Got all my paintings ready to sell, ready to hang. I'd done all like the wiring on the back, and then little paper pieces I'd framed in either IKEA frames, and I'd Googled online how to do the proper like mounting with the archival tape and sealing the back and all that, so someone could actually buy a painting, be it for $40, and hang it straight on their wall. And so I did that, and yeah, a lady walked up to me at 9 o'clock in the morning, was like, I'll take that, thanks. And I was like, oh my God, really? How much is it? And I was thinking, oh my God, this is so much money. It's $60. It might have been $40 or something. It was like an A3 piece of paper, you know, very delicately framed, but in an IKEA frame. And she was like, okay, great, I'll take that. And I was like, oh my God, someone I didn't know bought my art.
I relate to this so much. I remember that feeling so well.
I don't know you. We're not related. You're passing with your hard-earned cash, be it $80, but at the time that was massive, to buy my work and stick it on your wall. So I did a few more of those markets, and then eventually I was on Instagram, and I'd started posting on Instagram, which was just so good for that. And I was really enabled by that. I had no fear of showing my art. I think probably because, you know, with performance, I'm so used to, you know, get up and do a song and dance. Go on, you know, stand in front of this camera. I just didn't have any. I know some people are like, oh, aren't you nervous to show your art, or that someone will say, nah.
That's super interesting that you say that, because that's one of the things that I noticed about you when I first saw you on Instagram. It was so organic and raw, and I'm here and I'm doing this, and this happened today, and what a disaster this is, but I'm going to keep going, and and all that sort of stuff. And it was like a breath of fresh air. Yeah, now I see that connection that you're talking about with the performance. It's very interesting.
I might not share like highly personal stuff, but I certainly share the ups and downs of life. And I sort of think, oh, you know, there were certainly times where, you know, I would like everything to look more styled or more professional. And then my husband's like, no, that's what makes you special, is that you do performance, and you do have kids, and you do semi single parent sometimes when I'm away, and it, you know, you do bugger things up. Things don't go right, and that's what makes you interesting, and that's why people are interested in buying your art. And I was like, oh, okay, all right, well, I'll just keep plodding on then.
I think that that's very wise words. I echo that completely.
It's always very reassuring when I've, you know, when something hasn't gone to plan, or when something maybe isn't as polished or as, you know, as my sort of perfectionist self would like. And then I just think, no, no, people aren't buying my art because it's super realist and, you know, perfectly varnishedly with even, no, it's my art is lumpy and scratchy and messy, and that's what they like. You know, I'm sitting there like painting the edges carefully. Tom's like, what are you doing? And I was like, oh no, I just want it, you know, just to be like, and he's like, no, 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 no. People who are buying your art, they like the messiness. So I try to sort of find a balance.
It mirrors life, though, doesn't it? Like, life is messy. It's bumpy and scratchy.
It is pretty messy. And certainly after having kids, it's like, are you afraid to show my art? I'm like, no, half of RPA Hospital has seen my every single part of my entire body, you know. You know, no, I'm not worried about showing my art. It's fine. But you know, occasionally I think, oh, God. And then sometimes they're the ones where everyone goes, oh, my God, it's amazing. And you're like, oh, there's definitely something wrong with it.
How did you, I guess, come about the style of art that you create? So it's very much inspired by the land, very expressive, abstract style.
Well, I don't, as much as I would like to paint a very, say, a realistic landscape, I just... At the time when I started, I really didn't have the skills from practice or from doing a course. Like, I was equipped with whatever skills we got doing, you know, HSC art, and then whatever design skills that we learned at uni, and just sort of practice and whatever you pick up from, you know, any drawing class or whatever you've had. So I was only really sort of equipped with that. So, of course, I couldn't just sort of pull out like a really realistic. I didn't enjoy it, you know, as much as I would have liked it to look perfect. I realized that it couldn't look perfect, so I might as well embrace, yeah, again, the mess of it. And then by being exposed to other artists, you know, like you can go to the Art Gallery of New South Wales and see McCubbins and Streetons, and I couldn't do that as realistically as I would like. But then I found other artists online, and then of course in books, like, I don't know, Elizabeth Cummings, or just most looser abstract artists. And I was like, oh, that's it. Okay, I can't do Elizabeth Cummings, but that direction, you know, a looser feeling with really expressive marks. And I realized the actual sort of abandonment of painting a big empty canvas, and it made a big difference when I suddenly went up slightly bigger, so like up to a meter canvas, is totally different to painting, you know, a small 30 by 30. Your approach is different, you know, your arms move different, and the process of painting and the enjoyment of that experience, say the performance of painting, you know, really affected then how they look. And I really moved towards a more sort of abstract style. And I would still like to move towards a more abstract style. Like then, I was like last year and the year before, I'd only really discovered Tony Tuckson. And my mind was blown, like, you know, just these massive, just expressive, still kind of, you know, influenced by land and the environment, but just these big sort of gestural, abstract, just love it. So we'll see how abstract we go in the future.
Interesting you say that how you sort of start abstract work or semi-abstract work, and then that pull towards even more abstraction. I feel that too in my own work. You describe your process as very intuitive and energetic. So what happens when you go into your studio? I think you have a backyard studio now, is that right?
Yeah, I actually have a room now. Obviously, I need to update my website. but that's how I started. So I was painting inside the house, literally on the kitchen floor, kitchen table, kitchen, everything, back deck, pavers. And then we had a tiny little shed full of rats and spiders and all sorts, mostly cockroaches. And we sort of cleared that out and I set up in there. So that was amazing. But mostly I painted outside, because as soon as you take a canvas up to, a meter by a meter, it's very difficult to paint it in a tiny shed. So I would just put it up on an easel out the back and just go hell for leather, pull out a few colours and just go nuts. As a result, my back pavers are completely covered. But at the moment I actually have a room, which is just an absolute dream come true.
How much space do you have now?
It's quite big, actually. It's at least a bedroom size. So it will be, or hypothetically could be, have like a tiny ensuite in it. So it's, at least a bedroom size. We do live in a tiny sort of inner west house, but we added like a shed on the top. We couldn't add a shed out the back. We had to knock down the shed, but we weren't allowed to put it back up again.
So we had
the shed on the top of the back of our house, naturally. So I have to carry all my large paintings up and down a staircase that is about 55 centimetres wide and very, very steep stairs. A couple of metres by a couple of metres, maybe 3 or 4 metres by 3 or 4 metres. I either have a canvas stretched, which is my favourite. Like, I would have all my canvases stretched if I could, but I can't fit them upstairs if they're bigger than 1.20 metres. So I started buying a roll of canvas, or like some metres of unstretched canvas. And because it's a new wall, I'm just putting thumbtacks directly into that to hold the canvas up there on the wall, and you've got this lovely hard surface beneath it. I think you've got to have a pretty big studio to be able to work like that. I'd never managed it before because I could never have a place to either hang the canvas or for it to dry with the kids around. You know, where do you leave a 2 by 2 meter canvas just flapping wet in the wind? I don't know. So upstairs, that's certainly been a bit of a revelation, to be able to go up to sort of 1.5 meters, where you can really, you're sort of walking back and forth, almost probably jogging or jumping or dancing.
You can really bring that movement in.
Yeah, and I just love that sort of, my favorite paint is quite thick paint, acrylic, but quite thick, and you sort of, you know, it's quite smooshy, and then if you get a couple of sort of more liquidy kind of paints and you get lovely sort of drips and all sorts of things like that. But yeah, but I'd sometimes put down some marks, which I quite like, which kind of breaks the emptiness of it. It's like, oh, well, it's no longer an empty canvas pretty quickly if you get a pencil or I've got these nice neo colors at the moment. So they're like kind of like a wax acrylic pastel, but it's not
normal
pastel.
I know them very well. They're one of my favorites. I use them for a similar purpose, like breaking up the space and
just making little marks. And because I don't know when the end is, like some people are like, oh, you can probably hear the plane going over.
Yeah, I heard one before, actually.
Yeah. Well, it's like, after 6:30 really in the morning, but then in the morning it's all day, but I don't even notice them anymore. I've lived here for a long, long time. they're great. They're so great. And I don't know what the last layer of a painting is even going to be. Even once it's, hung and displayed, it may still come home and end up being something else. So how would I know when to put the oil pastel on? So instead of worrying about that, I just try and use everything that can go together in layers until one day, maybe, finally, it's finished. But sometimes they're finished very quickly. Like sometimes when I'm really lucky and I've got time, like a day like this when the kids are at school and we've got a little bit of after-school care and you can really get stuck in. Oh, I'm going to sneeze. No, I'm not going to sneeze. If you say you're not going to sneeze, then you don't. You are going to sneeze. You can really lose yourself in it, and, within an hour or less or more, you'll have this painting and you're like, no, I can't touch it. Like, it's done. Sometimes that happens. And sometimes it takes, weeks, months, a year. But it's certainly very just flying by the seat of my pants is probably.
A very fluid process.
Yeah, I love it. It's very similar to performance to me, like not judging the mark, or did I put that in the right spot, or does that color work together? Just sort of being able to sort of step back from it emotionally, or maybe be completely emotional. I don't know, something like that. But that, to me, you get a similar kind of rush when you're in that process. And it's almost, it's still about the final image, but the process is what's you're so in love with, I think.
So when you stand in front of a big canvas, do you have any idea where you're heading with it? Like, do you have something in mind, or is it driven by process and the choice of supplies and things like that?
90%, no. I just go, oh, I'm feeling blue. Do I feel dark blue, light blue? And just start. Or sometimes I've seen a painting of someone else's, or I've seen a picture on Instagram, or I've been looking in a book. I'm like, oh my God, orange, that deep, dark, burnt kind of orange. And I'll just start with that. I'll either paint the whole canvas in it. Mostly I get bored. I just paint a bit. Depends how big the canvas is. But pretty quickly I'm like, oh, that color. Oh, and that, add a bit of that color and then add that on the canvas. It just sort of starts. But sometimes I do have, you know, you see like a picture somewhere and you just think, oh, that, you know, that tree next to that waterhole, and that will be enough to start it. Very rarely ends up looking anything like that. But sometimes they grow, say, about 70% of the way through. Sometimes a picture will kind of emerge. Sometimes I can get it to keep going to where I think that might be, and other times I just have to let it go and it goes somewhere else. It's interesting. And then sometimes I look at it and I go, well, that's clearly what that is, you know, that place or that photo, and it's just happened. And sometimes I've been lucky enough to sort of sculpt it to that point where I feel it's similar to that image. But I don't get to go a lot of places anymore. So I do rely on, like, yeah, a picture I've seen or a picture in a book or just somewhere someone else has been. Like, friends of mine have been out on, like, art painting trips to the Northern Territory. I was like, oh, God, look at that waterhole and that tree. And that's enough to sort of trigger something. I would love to go there. And I am going there. As of now, I've booked one art painting trip next year to Pilbara.
So is that an organised trip or just yourself, or how's
that? No, it's an organised trip because my husband travels a lot, depending on, it's like Australian summer, but then there's European summer. That's also quite, there's a lot of work in that. There's Adelaide Fringe Festival and then the gigs around that time. There's different tours. So just, I don't know what it happens, but it's obviously to do with when artists are available or when it's wet season, dry season, something, but it never matches up. And I'm like, what about this weekend? I'm totally going to go to this thing. No, it's this festival. I'm going to blah, 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 blah. Bugger it. Nope, can't do that. So I think the moons have aligned for this one. I've had to probably 6 months in advance. Chances of something else coming up and him needing to be somewhere else and I have no idea what I'm going to do with the children are high, but I've put it in the diary. I've paid the money.
That's good, because it's so good to get away, isn't it? Like, it brings so much to your process, the inspiration.
I can't even imagine. Like, just going away from the children, I mean, I love them dearly. And I do have time during the day now, like the last – year and a half, 2 years, I have had like daycare time, just personal space, not even like in a different space, just like personal space. I caught the train to Orange twice this year, which is probably the biggest adventure I've been on. So that was, you know, thrilling, you know, 3 hours on the train and an hour and a half on the bus. Wow, did I see some landscape? It was actually quite good. There was some quite when you go over the Blue Mountains, that's pretty special, and your head's like glued to the window, you know. I would like to go more places, but at the moment I just have to go in my mind.
So how old are your children?
I have one nearly 4 year old and one nearly 7.
Okay, so that's enough to keep you fairly busy, and by the sounds of it, your husband's job is
legitimately not do any art and still be completely 110% busy.
So how do you manage, fitting in time for art with juggling, looking after your two children and everything else that comes with life,
yeah,
I guess?
I think it's like you slowly add a bit in and a bit in, and it's like it's almost like building blocks and your arms just carry more and more weight. I don't know. When I really started painting was when I think I must have just finished breastfeeding my youngest one. So she would have been probably about one, and she wasn't at daycare yet, but she was a good sleeper. So she had two naps, And I think it combined with me getting slightly more sleep, you know, so like, you know, good 6, 7, 8 hour stretch. I could sleep for 12 hours a stretch. Like that's my normal sleeping time. I need more sleep. So I was obviously getting a little bit more sleep at night. And so you're functioning a bit better. You know, like your brain's working better, you're awake. Basically, you're sort of, well, my experience was that I woke up, you know, and that she was still having two naps a day. So I had time in the evening when she went to sleep, well, they both went to sleep, maybe sometimes. And then I had 1 or 2 hours in the day to get out some paper or go outside and throw down some paint in that time. And then I would stop painting and go back to Thingo. And then eventually she went to one nap. That was hard, dealt with it. But she was a good sleeper. So she'd sleep for 2 or 3 hours in a day, which is pretty amazing. A lot of people don't have that. I don't know what your kids do, but my brother's kids, they do not sleep for that long.
I had one of each. So my kids are older now, but my son was the big daytime napper.
Right.
The big epic daytime nap.
Yes.
The daughter was the opposite, cat nap. Oh. Just, you know, 20 minutes here.
Very shocking for you. You're broken. Oh, that's tough. Yeah, well, the second one, I really got lucky. And then I think that my eldest didn't go to daycare until she was sort of 2.5, 3, so before the second one came. But the younger one, they just so much quicker at everything. Like she was busting to follow Lizzie to daycare. So she did start daycare at about 18 months. So I had, I think we started on 2 days. So I had 2 days with both kids at daycare. And it was amazing. It was amazing. At the time, it was probably quite a stretch financially, but it was just worth its weight in gold. For one, getting stuff done. I probably spent a whole day getting stuff done. And then a whole day just throwing paint down, going to the library, looking at books, just experimenting. And every time when they went to sleep, I would do that. I mean, I have less patience for that now because I have the time in the day. Yeah, I was hyper motivated to experiment and to paint. Like I couldn't stop. My husband's like, no, you have to stop now. We both work from home. So that, I mean, you have similar, it's very hard to, before you know it, you're might be answering emails or quickly looking at a thing and you're like, oh shit, no, we're doing bath time or we're doing whatever it is. So
yeah, it's hard to pull yourself out of it sometimes, isn't it? Like especially, and it can be anything, as you say, it can be you're in painting or you're uploading stuff to your website. There's just so many different things you can be doing.
Especially those things that are blurred. So like Instagram, you know, you might be looking at your friend's stuff or you might be, you know, doing posts for your thing. So it's, sometimes it can get a bit blurred, but certainly having this separate space just changed everything because there was no cleanup time. Because originally I would be like packing things up in the garden in case it rained, stacking things away so the children couldn't stick their fists into the actual paint and or painting, which they were generally pretty good about until occasionally I come back and I'm like, I didn't put that mark there. but now just having that, well, first having that shed and then second having that room, just being able to literally drop my stuff. I have to set an alarm or sometimes 2 alarms, and the other mums and dads at school will tell you I'm still sometimes running late, like running, dropping my paintbrush, making like last marks or last to try and either finish something or coat something or whatever, and then running to the school.
Well, my alarm is the actual school bell because we live that close.
Sometimes they let them out early. Like I think by the time the bell goes and then I've got like 2 to 3 minutes to run up there. We're both very lucky. We obviously live very close to our school to get up there. But half the time they're already out.
Yeah, my kids are always waiting. I've always got paint on my face.
Absolutely. Come on, hold my hand. No, I don't want to hand your hand. It's not wet. It's dry. I don't care. It's dirty. Okay, fine.
So how much time do you have for painting at the moment now?
At the moment, I'm totally living the dream. So Lizzie's in first class. So she's at school 5 days a week.
So good, isn't it? I mean,
9:30 to 2:55. I should say 2:45, but there's an alarm that goes off at 2:45 and then there's a second alarm that goes off at 2:55, sometimes 2:58. And then the other one does 4 days of daycare now. And so I have a day with her in the week. So I pretty much get to paint, you know, nearly for 3/4 to 4 days plus. And then I do, that's when I do all the other stuff too. So, you know, whatever house stuff needs to get done, shopping, washing, making the place not look like a complete shithole. But I really just don't care about that stuff very much and more painting mostly. We have food to eat and that's, and then, and there's time for painting and that's it.
Well, you've got to let some stuff go. Otherwise you just wouldn't have the time, would you? Because you could easily spend those days doing all the housework and things that need to be done.
I think before I painted, when I pretty much was, you know, a stay-at-home full-time mum, and I didn't do painting, it was a real struggle. I really felt like I needed to be making sure everything was clean, even though I wasn't actually naturally that kind of person, making sure washing was done and shopping was done and food was ready. And now I'm like, I just don't care. It always gets done, but you just adjust to a different level of mess. And we're very lucky that we're both very comfortable with that. And my husband, you know, is very good at doing whatever needs to be done when he's not wrapped up in his own business. But we have the same, you know, same problems.
Yeah, well, you'd be able to relate to each other given the, you know, the different things that you do. And so you can kind of, yeah, ease up on each other and understand, I guess, the way creativity works.
Yeah, I think it's certainly been a slow process of him getting used to that, because originally I was just in charge of all of that stuff. It made sense to divide the labor that way, because he was just gone. So I just did everything, and then he'd come back and he's like, oh, I'm not doing anything. And I'm like, oh, yeah, you can do stuff. You do have arms. Okay, great. You can do all this stuff. And then me slowly doing more stuff that wasn't that, and actually doing art and running errands and going to the framer and organizing and actually being stuck in my own work. He's like, oh, how are you doing all this other stuff as well? I'm like, well, you can do stuff too. You know, go for it. Knock yourself out. But yeah, we were certainly, that's always a work in progress, but we're pretty good at sharing what needs to be done. And he's so good now about, like, you know, he'll get on his bike and run up and get the kids if I cook. So it's a, there's a lot of turn taking, which we're pretty good at now. But you still just have to communicate. Oh my God, as soon as you stop communicating, and then we're like, I thought you were doing that. Now I'm doing this. But it's pretty good. Considering our studios are right next to each other, it couldn't be that hard to communicate, but obviously it still is sometimes.
It can be a difficult transition, like what you're talking about, where you have been a stay-at-home parent and then you start running a business.
Oh yeah, that's, yeah, that when it became a business, that was quite an adjustment for him. All of a sudden it was like, no, I've got to do this. I need the car. I need to get another car, a bigger car, to put all the paintings in or whatever it is. Like, no, I have important stuff to do as well. And then when, you know, you do start actually selling paintings, then suddenly it does become sort of legitimate. And I became even more motivated to kind of, because I was like, no, this is my business. This is it's now sort of, we run it as it's part of his business. So he has a DJing business and I have an art business. And together we have a DJing art business, which is odd. But the accountant says that's the best way to do it. So yes, that's the way we're doing
it. Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? We all go to the accountant and figure out how this all works.
And certainly this is not the kind of accounting that they normally have to deal with, but he's pretty good at it.
Yeah, it can be hard to find accountants that sort of understand this industry. Yeah. I've found it's that difficult.
Certainly,
yeah.
I always found it hard. I would just never claim anything because it never fit into any of those boxes, especially when I was, you know, just probably the good 7 years there where I was working a normal job in retail and then trying to do acting stuff on the side, which you probably never got paid for, but you had lots of expenses for. So it never really worked out. And then as soon as Tom started actually getting paid to do DJing, it was the same thing. It was all of a sudden was like, I don't fit in any of the boxes. And it was just really lucky that he had a, you know, a family friend who could go, oh, I'll learn that. I'll learn how to do that stuff, and worked it out. And is pretty across it now, which is really nice.
Yeah, I think it's definitely worthwhile for artists to reach out and get some help in this area to make sure you are getting, I guess, the benefits that you can, and, you know, not sort of shooting yourself in the foot.
Yeah. No, it's bad enough doing a normal tax return where you can tick all the boxes. well, you don't have to tick anything anymore. Well, you do tick, but it's not written, you know, I don't think you fill out the form anymore. But then, yeah, and then tailoring it to when you need the extra form and, oh.
Yeah, let's let's put that aside. Oh,
let's not talk about tax, sorry.
How do we get there?
Yeah.
So anyway, I want to backtrack a little bit. And so you mentioned that you got started doing markets, and you know, some of them were just in your local community, bit of a mixture of things. And what happened after you started selling your work and realizing, wow, I can do this? Like, how did you get your work out to more people?
Instagram.
So that
in
was
a simple answer. Yeah. I would have to say Instagram. Before I got a website or joined Blue Thumb or whatever, I had Instagram and I just started sharing it. Because I think the thing that really started me working out how to paint at home, when I just didn't have canvases, I had left this random roll of wallpaper, blank wallpaper, and it was really thick and it could take a lot of paint. So I'd tape that to the floor and paint that. And I'd seen Amira Rahim, you obviously
yes,
know her.
Yeah.
She's in America, and she's just painting on this paper in abstract colors. And I'm like, yes. That's it. So I was following her from pretty early on, from 2013 probably. So she was just always there, sort of in the background painting away. And she had a lot of things which were, you know, Instagram for artists, that kind of thing. So I did a couple of those courses, which were absolutely invaluable to me at that moment, which was all about sharing your art in a really simple, honest kind of way on Instagram. If you wanted to sell directly from Instagram, which, you know, some artists have trouble with because it kind of goes against the general kind of gallery system. But then it's like, I'm just Joe Blow with no painting qualifiers. How would I even fit into the gallery system? So I'll just do this. I'll just make these paintings and make sure everyone knows they're for sale, because a lot of people are like, are they for sale? I'm like, yeah, they're for sale. I've got, yes, definitely. I'll take your money. just getting that message out there and just sharing the process. And then I think the next thing I did was I joined Blue Thumb, which had probably been around for a little while at that stage, which is the sort of wonderful online, but Australian, for Australian artists, selling platform. I was like, can I do it on my mobile phone? Can I sign this up? I can. Fantastic. And can I do all the bits and pieces and attach my paper? I can do that on my phone. Okay, great. I can do it, because I think I was probably still breastfeeding. So I was like, I need to be able to do everything with my phone in my hand, which sounds terrible. But I was like, it's a test of a good website, if you can do it all on your phone, I found at the time. And then I'm pretty sure I probably set up my Squarespace website on my phone too, because I'd always, as a performer, I think my husband was probably setting up his, you know, had a proper website at the time, and I was like, bugger it, I'll just get a website. I'll just get a small, cheap, easy to use, do it yourself website, and I'll just start putting the paintings up there. But yeah, really, the next step was Instagram, Blue Thumb website, and then immediately you start getting hit by advertising for the other art fair. And I had a friend whose husband is also a DJ, surprisingly, and she had done markets and she was doing quite well selling her original art, and she'd done this other art fair. And I was like, oh my God, that looks amazing. I'm going to do that. And then in 2018, I did. So I think I applied in 2017 and didn't get in, but then 2018, and I did get in. I was like, right, well, this is it then. So that was, and I think certainly having been posting all the time and being compulsively making art for a whole year and sharing it online probably helped, you know, me exist, you know, enough to go, yeah, sure, we'll take you on. Also, they just want your money, so.
So can you tell us about your experience of doing the art fair? The other art fair is what it's called, isn't it?
Yeah, it was amazing. And I think because my friend Jen, she'd already done it, so I was saying, what are we doing? Oh, my God, what do you do for that? Blah, blah, blah. And she's very relaxed. She was like, no, that'll be fine. I'm like, yeah, I'll just be more like Jen. I'll just be really relaxed about everything. And but they're so good. They have it down pat, the system. You know, you pay your deposit, you put in your images, that's linked up with Saatchi Art, and it's all about posting it to Instagram. And as per usual, I had like five times more paintings than I needed. But in my mind, I was like, I'm going to stand there for 4 days in my 3 meter by 1 meter stand, which is technically called 5 meters, but really it's just 3 meters. And I'm going to talk to 1,000 people because that's what I can actually do. At the time, I was quite, I would just really like to be more professional. And Tom's like, what are you talking about? You're really good at talking to people. The best way for you to sell your art is if you talk to them. And 5 out of 10, maybe 7 out of 10, they're going to go, yeah, all right, I'll have that. So that kind of added, I had no fear of talking to people. I think some people in that kind of art fair experience really struggle with that because you either have to talk about yourself, which is agonizing for anyone. It's also agonizing for me, but that's fine. I'm coping. This conversation's going great. And then talking about your art, you know, it's like a whole separate skill.
Well, so many artists are quite introverted, spend a lot of time on their, you know, on their own. And so putting yourself out there into that kind of situation.
And performs to 10,000 people at a time. Could do a radio interview? No. I mean, and now. But at the time, he's like, I don't even want to talk on the microphone in his own show. Like, that's a totally separate skill. And then also talking about something that you've created, which is so personal, you know, and so possibly open to criticism, is absolutely terrifying. So I think I was really lucky to have my performance skills and also just be really happy to be out of the house. Like 4 days standing around without my children, I probably had to shift a lot and they were at grandparents or Tom was probably away, I think maybe always on a weekend. And I was like, great, I'm out of the house. I have no kids. I'm wearing a nice dress. I've got a bunch of art. There's wine and there's also pies. Great, let's do it. Let's do an art fair. And it went really, really, really well. I was just starting out. My art was incredibly reasonably priced, like ridiculously reasonably priced. And I sold a lot of paintings. And I met a lot of people. Art people, artists, curatory sort of people, and people who were interested in art, art buyers, people who were then potential art buyers, or I'd met through an open studio. That's what I did actually before the art fair. I was really lucky to get into our I don't know what you've got in Adelaide, but in the inner west of Sydney, there are so many art studios. It's a real sort of creative hub of artists. And they have a big studio trail, which is run by the council. And I was really lucky to be able to do that in 2018. And it was directly before the art fair. So that just couldn't have been better. And I was very nervous about at that time I was still painting in my yard, in my shed. I wasn't in a sort of collective of artist studios, and I thought, oh, God. And not really many people came, but a few people came, and a whole bike tour came, which was terrifying but good. And the people who came to that then came to the art fair, and then those people came. I had an exhibition at the end of 2018. They came to that, and they came to my recent studio. Hopefully they'll come to my next exhibition. People are remarkably loyal. It's been really great. So the art fair really just sort of put me on the map, I think. I don't know. In a small time, paints from home, has two kids kind of way. And I did it again this year, which was just, is again, great. It's almost like people are like, oh, did you sell lots of paintings? Did you make as much as you spent? And it's kind of like, well, I'm very lucky to say that I did, but also it's not about that. It's a long term thing. It's meeting those people who maybe aren't going to buy now, but they're going to buy later, or they're going to put your art in your magazine, which still hasn't happened yet, but you know, fingers crossed. I don't know. It was certainly a long game.
Yeah, you can't underestimate that kind of work, can you?
And we don't have a lot of that in Sydney. You know, like in the UK, if you listen, do you listen to Art Juice? I mean, you have an art podcast, but
yes, yeah, I haven't listened to it in a while, but I definitely have I've listened to some and it. I love it. I think they're brilliant.
I've just found it and I'm just like totally, yeah, they're so great. I've listened to all of them twice now. but certainly in the UK and the US, they have so many more art fairs, like big art fairs, small art fairs, local art fairs, like really apart from someone said to me, oh, you're going to be in Sydney Contemporary. I'm like, what do you mean am I going to be in Sydney Contemporary? Like, bloody no. It's not like that. It's not. It's a different kind of art fair. So apart from the other art fair, I mean, Sydney doesn't even have the affordable art fair. That's like Melbourne. Or there's like design. We just sort of, at the moment, that's sort of it.
Well, it's even so more limited here. Like, we really need to go to Sydney or something like that to do an art fair. It's, yeah, a different kind of art environment that we have. One of the other things that I wanted to touch on with you a little bit is that you have been a finalist in many art prizes and also a winner. So congratulations on your win for the Greenway Art Prize. I thought maybe you could talk a bit about the motivation for entering these kind of prizes, what you get from it as far as the experience.
Yeah, I really took that on. I was in a little group started by an amazing artist, Felicity O'Connor, and she's also an abstract slash abstract landscape painter. She's based in the Central Coast. And she, I fell in love with her art on Instagram. I was like, who is that? What is that? I need to see all of that. She had a little group called the Art Activators because she's very passionate about women in art. It's that wonderful statistic that, you know, 70%, I'm not sure of the exact figures, but it's something like 70% of art graduates are women, but only 30% of art hung in galleries is by women. So it's like, okay, well, let's address that gap. So she had a little sort of group, she's a psychologist as well, to really motivate artists, women artists who were either had been painting and have stopped painting while they had kids or have come to it late in life, or people who are still painting but just need more support with getting yourself out there and being motivated to paint and sharing that painting and just that kind of like marketing, motivation, business stuff, you know. And that was – I joined that group. I was in it for a year. It's recently disbanded, but, you know, times are changing and Felicity just gave us so much of her time and we learned so much. So I can't remember what I was talking about. That's always something that everyone's like, oh, you should enter art prizes. And I was like, oh, well, what are the art prizes? And in that, everyone's like, oh, you know, I want to enter art prizes, but I don't know whether my image, because really you just need a digital image of your painting. It's not like you're sending your painting off. It's genius. It's absolutely genius. But sometimes getting those digital images are very difficult if you don't have either a fancy camera and know how to use it or a really nice iPhone or any iPhone. I mean, I've only recently had a very nice iPhone, but before that I just had a normal iPhone. And then getting the image, working out what the hell the prizes are and where they are and how you enter them. So that took a while, but basically I wrote a big list and I was like, bugger it, I'll enter them. Sure, let's do it. So I found out basically every art prize in Australia. And then I sort of filtered out, obviously, the Archibald and the Win and a few of those going, well, it's not going to happen. Or some art prizes are still you have to paint in oils or you have to paint in tempera or it be a portrait. And I'm like, okay, well, that's not going to happen. Cross them off the list. But I basically made a list of art prizes that I was like, all right, you know, it over a year, I probably go, oh, okay, well, I've probably spent a couple of $100 entering art prizes. But when I entered something like the Balmain Art and Craft Show, which is actually a fundraiser for one of the schools, you were still there with some of my favourite Australian artists. And I was like, oh, great, fantastic. Sold some art, fantastic. Okay, next. Hunter's Hill, great. And you could actually be a finalist in that. Doesn't matter whether it's the Hunter's Hill Art Prize or the Archibald, you're still a finalist. It's just a different pool. And I don't know, it gave me a bit of momentum to always be, look at the list, what's at the moment, okay, fill out the form, and just learning how to fill out the bloody forms. Do you have an artist statement? Do you have an artist CV? How do you write an artist statement? Do you have a bio? Oh, my God. Google how to write an artist bio. Work out how to do that. Share it with the Art Activator group. Does it sound like a pile of shit. Guys, feedback. Okay, great. I've now got an artist bio. I can put that in. You know, so learning how to fill up the forms was tricky. But it's been so worthwhile. And I've met so many other artists, and I've been so lucky to have my art as a finalist in a couple of things. It's just been fabulous. And then, of course, the biggest one was, which is sort of the smallest one, but to me it was the biggest one, was our local art prize. So the Greenway is a hypothetical, hopefully eventual Greenway between the Cooks River and sort of Sydney Harbour. And it would have been a creek, but because of industrial, like, you know, industry over the years in Sydney and residential, and it's gone. But basically they're trying to reopen it for a walkway and a bike path and make a real green space in the city, which is tricky. Any green space is the tricky. They just spend all day just cutting down all the green spaces here in Sydney at the moment, because we've got a tunnel and a tramway and all this sort of stuff coming. So there's a lot of upheaval. So they're really trying hard to get the community behind it. And the community is totally on board. They thought, how are we going to do that? We're going to make an art prize. And I thought, great, I'll enter that. But it is very difficult to get into the Greenway Art Prize. So I really, really wanted to do that. So I think this is like the third time I've entered, and that was sort of the most important one. And this year I was lucky enough to be a finalist, which I was just like, I felt like I won the Archibald just being a finalist. Like, I sent my art to Adelaide as a finalist in something else. I'm like, yeah, that's pretty good. But this is really great. Like, I was so happy to be in this. And then when they call you and say, oh, hi, Alexandra, and I'm thinking, oh, my God, my art's too big. I'm going to have to come and get it. She's ringing to tell me on the day of the opening that, you know, it's just not going to fit. There's no space. I have to come and get my artwork, basically, which is kind of what I had to do last year. So I was totally – she's like, no, I'm just ringing. I'm dropping my kid to school, like crossing a major road. She's like, no, you just want to let you know you've won the local art prize. Oh, my God, are you joking me? Yeah, and to win the local one, because there is a bigger prize. Very talented artist won that, and it's also a sculpture prize and all sorts. I'm just so thrilled. I'm just so thrilled. But I found it really motivating. Like, it took, and a couple of other people in our art group were like, oh, you know, we having trouble, you know, how to enter them, being motivated, thinking, is it worth it? But I don't know, I've found it really helpful entering all those prizes. And more than anything, I have a lot of artist statements now.
Yeah, well, it gets you to do things that you often put off, don't you? Yeah. Doesn't it? Like, get your portfolio together, like do your artist statement, write your bio, learn how to photograph your work, which is a big one. So sometimes you need something like an external motivation, like an art fair. So that's one of the things that I really wanted to talk to you about, because you've done so many of these brilliant ways of getting your art out into the world, building your profile, building your confidence.
It's a very DIY situation, because it's just like, oh, okay, I don't know how to digitally Photoshop my art into artwork. Great. Google how to digitally, you know, put your artwork in a thing. Google YouTube tutorial, watch how Amira Rahim, and I think I did one of her things, because I couldn't work it out. I was like, this is how thick I am sometimes. We all are, I'm sure. Or maybe not. Everyone's like, oh, duh, that's how they do it. I was like, how is everyone getting these amazing styled photos of their paintings when they've literally just painted it and it's still wet and it's framed, okay? I just couldn't work it out. And I think I probably sent a message to someone going, how are you doing this? And they're like, oh, it's digital. It's done digitally on Photoshop. And I was like, oh, what? And then, yeah, I was like, I just could not work it out. Because, you know, just, I mean, I think probably at that time I could take a photo of my artwork of reasonable quality and crop it to the edges. But then taking a photo of it on a wall and making it not look shadowed or wonky or out of perspective or have the color, that's very difficult. And then I think, yeah, I started watching YouTube tutorials, and at the time we were doing another project. We were doing a children's video audio visual dance party for children, and we were I was learned how to use Illustrator. So I was doing numbers and letters and things on like a touchpad. And so I'd learned how very basically to do that. And then I'd watched a lot of YouTube tutorials of how to do what they call, you know, putting your art into a mock-up, which is a photograph of a room. And then you've got this beautiful picture of your work in a room that really helps someone see whether, you know, the size of a painting or the colors of a painting, or just give them a feeling for the art. It's really hard to see out of context, you know, especially if you're buying art online or even thinking about buying art online. But just basically, can you Google it and learn how to do that? Okay, great. Let's do that. You know? It's amazing. It really is amazing. How do you varnish a painting? Oh, what's varnish? Oh, how do you make your painting so shiny? Oh, you varnish it. What? Google that. What varnish do you use? You know, like I really wanted to work it out myself rather than, because as soon as I started painting, everyone was like, oh, well, you can go back to art school and do this. I'm like, well, that'd be great. But, you know, I still have two children. I don't have time to wipe my own ass, let alone, you know, go off and do another degree at night or something. No, I'm just going to have to learn it myself, basically. And that is everything from the actual painting, mixing the paint, doing a canvas, photographing the work, all the back end stuff, how to organize your website, you know, just working it out slowly and by asking a lot of questions to some other very patient people. And then other people ask me questions. I'm like, so they're like, I'm so sorry. I'm like, no, this is how you gain information. You share information with other people. People are always like, oh my God, you're so generous. I'm like, but how else are we going to know stuff? You know, like we've all got to share the information, you know. It just makes so much sense. Anyway, I've been very lucky to learn so much stuff from so many great people. But Instagram is so good for that. Just watching other people paint. Watching videos of someone do the proper mounting of a piece of paper in a frame. The internet's amazing. The internet is terrible, but the internet is also amazing.
It's a double-edged sword, isn't it? It's all out there. Like if you want to find out any of those things, it's out there.
It's amazing. And I'm just so lucky to have it because originally it's like, how do you even see other people's art? You know, in the olden days, you'd be going to galleries, you'd be getting books or before books, you know, you'd have to go to the gallery, meet the artist, know the artist. And now I'm like, you know, Googling, you know, women's abstract expressionists in the 1960s. Fantastic. I can see hundreds of images of all these amazing talented artists' work and then get the book and then read about them and listen to the podcast or the autobiography of their life. You know, it's just amazing the amount of information we have. So I've kind of been like, it's a very self-taught thing at the moment, is just sucking up all the information I can that I think is of use. It is hard to gauge sometimes. But I've found it, it's great. It's really great.
So are you still selling most of your work directly, or are you working with galleries now?
I'm not represented by any gallery at this stage. The majority of my sales come through my website. But I do have some relationships with galleries at the moment. So there's a lovely gallery in Moree, which is in northwestern New South Wales. Gig there has really took me on probably after the art fair last year. And she just found my work. I can't even remember how she found my work. Probably on Instagram, because she's very active on Instagram. She has a rural business and she's been so great at just going, right, this is what all the people are doing. They're on Instagram. They're on Facebook. I'm going to get on Instagram and Facebook. And it's worked just fantastically for her. So even if she's not selling art to her own rural community, she's selling art to other rural communities. Half the time she has to send the paintings back to Sydney, which is funny. She really took me on and has sold nearly every work I've ever sent her, which is just brilliant. And she chooses what she thinks is going to work for her gallery and is just fantastic and has been so supportive. And then I was in a couple of group shows in a little gallery in Sydney, a fairly new gallery called the Space Gallery. And Pascal has been wonderful with selling some of my art. She's highly motivated and has a lovely little gallery there. And then just recently, which is, oh no, I suppose that's probably that's the first representation. So at the moment, as of now, last week, in Melbourne, I'm represented, I think. I don't know. I haven't signed anything, but I'm pretty sure it's pretty official. and Fenton are stocking my art.
Oh, brilliant.
Which is just.
Congratulations. That's amazing. That's just,
Because I remember, like, pretty, you know, early on Instagram, like following, you know, and seeing those beautiful images of, you know, coloured walls and furniture and interesting abstract art. And I was like, yes. Where do you want to sell your art? I want to sell my art there, you know, and to have that happen is just brilliant, just absolutely bloody brilliant. And I assume it's the power of Instagram, I assume. I mean, obviously I've done a lot of paintings, but I assume it's Instagram. I don't know, but I'm so thrilled, so, so thrilled. I've got a couple of paintings down there, which is lovely. But my two exhibitions that I've done, my two solo exhibitions, they've both been kind of off my own back. I've taken a leaf out of Ken Doan's book. Don't know whether you've listened to – do you listen to Talking with Painters?
I have, but, you know, not religiously, but, you know, I've listened to some of the conversations. Pardon?
I've listened to it religiously. And I've only really been listening to it for a year. Like I've really fallen in love with podcasts in the last year. Because when you've got really small kids, it's just really hard to listen to podcasts. I was like, why? How is everyone listening to all these podcasts? I can't do stuff and listen to stuff and drive or whatever. Anyway, I have some time and I'm really into podcasts at the moment. But the amount I've learned from the Talking with Painters podcast and listening to art podcasts, just hearing other artists on your podcast, on Art Juice, on what hearing people talk about how they approach their work has just been amazing. So if you've listened to the Ken Doan episode, which is amazing, highly recommend.
I'm trying to think. I don't know if it was Talking with Painters, but there was another interview that I actually had like a YouTube component as well.
Oh yeah, yes, yep. Maria does do some video bits.
Yeah, it had like a video bit. It might not be YouTube actually, but a video component, and it was amazing. So anyway, I'm going to dig that out because I'll put a few links.
It is funny. Like you can listen to a lot of them, but then some painters and some interviews, either their work, you're really, really into their work, so you're really listening really hard, or it's just a really interesting interview. And I think certainly I'm very, very into Ken Doan's work. And it is one of those things that's like, why isn't Ken Doan in the gallery? Like, what's going on there? You know, like I just love all of his work. I have the book and everything now. But just listening to him talk about getting started in painting, getting that business off the ground and how it was a very self-made sort of process. So I was like, well, bugger it. I can't wait to be asked to have a solo exhibition. I'm going to do it myself. Google, how to organize solo exhibition. But I was really, really lucky. There's a lovely art gallery near us in Balmain, which is a very nice area in Sydney. Half artsy, half kind of expensive, but a lovely sort of village feel. There's a lovely gallery there run by artists, and they had just opened a gallery next door. So they had the two spaces, and I thought, oh, God, how are we going to fill these two? Oh, great, we'll put it out to other artists and who wants to fill it. So they had pop-ups every week for like, I don't know, 2 months or something. And I put my hand up very, very, very fast for that. So I was really lucky to get a week there. So I held an exhibition there and that was fantastic, just so fantastic. And then this year I'm in a lovely little gallery in Marrickville, which is my own area, called Gallery 371. And again, it's just, you know, do the art, do the marketing, do the lists, organize the, just do everything yourself. But I kind of like that. I suppose it's really helping my inner control freak. But it is quite satisfying. It's a lot of pressure.
I was going to say, it's a lot of work though, isn't it?
It's a lot of work. Yeah. And I'm certainly finding that at the moment, just making sure of, you know, writing my newsletter and having people for the open studio and looking at Facebook I've never really looked much at like sponsored posts or anything like that, but I'm like, okay, I'd be an idiot if I didn't do some kind of marketing apart from, you know, off my own Instagram. So I'm looking at, you know, doing the catalog and working at the pricing and what's going to be framed and how do I get it all there and how the hell am I going to sit in the gallery for 2 weeks? I don't know. Anyway, that's what I'm doing at the moment. But it's certainly, it's a very DIY feel. But really, more often than not, it's me standing there talking to people about my art, about what they like in front of a painting, and that's where the connection happens. So hopefully I will have some people walk into the gallery so I can do that.
So when is the exhibition? It's coming up very soon, isn't it?
It is very soon. It is sickeningly soon. It is, today is Monday. It is next week. It opens next week. That is great. So it opens Wednesday the 27th. Brain freeze. I'm mumping in on Wednesday the 27th and I'm having an opening night drinks on the 28th of November. And then I've never done a 2 week before, but it just gives people more than one weekend to sort of get in. And I just know how hard it is with kids. You know, there's so many things on and I don't do any of them. So I just don't do anything. So I was like, I'm going to give people 2 weekends to come in. And there are a lot of people, like the school mums at school, other people I know, and it is just so hard to get anywhere. Actually, it's just physically hard to get around Sydney on a Saturday or Sunday, just even a 10-minute radius, you know, 10-minute drive anywhere around my house on a Saturday or a Sunday is crippling. So I just thought 2 weekends.
So when does it run from? I'm trying to work out if this podcast is going to be coming out and it's still going to be on.
Well, did you say it might come out first week of December?
Yeah. So will you still be there?
Yeah. So I'll be there till the 8th of December.
Okay. Brilliant.
So that's the end of the second weekend. Yeah.
Okay. Super. So I'll leave all the details for it in the show notes so that anyone who hears this can go and meet you and check all your art out.
Well, that's the thing. It's like everyone's like, oh, I've missed it already. And I'm like, I'm going to do 2 weeks. So you've got two and I'll fluff around in the week. I mean, if it's very quiet, I'll paint or whatever. So come in, let's have a chat. I'll do some painting. that's kind of the plan. But I'm on top of it enough at the moment to feel relaxed about it, I think. So we'll see.
Well, I wish you all the best and I truly wish that I was in Sydney and I could come and see you.
Look, the amount of times I've been to Adelaide, you know, my husband goes to Adelaide a lot. We'd spent a lot of time in Adelaide. But I was like, I kind of wish I knew more about the Adelaide art scene.
Well, if you're ever in Adelaide again, send me a message.
Yeah.
And I will. Yeah, that would be wonderful.
Look, I can see Adelaide Art Festival happening in tandem with the Fringe Festival and WOMAD because in Edinburgh, they obviously also have a massive Fringe Festival. But at the same time as that, they're having the Fringe Festival, the big proper Edinburgh festival. They're also having a music festival. And then they also have an art festival. And that happens all at the same time, which is terrifying. But go for it. Make it happen.
Thank you so much for joining me and for everything that you talked about. You're such an inspiration in the way that you have, as you describe it, you are a DIY artist and I love it.
It is quite a bit like that, you know. This part of me would really have liked to, you know, go to art school and follow the mold. I would feel very comfortable with that. But I think when you get a little bit older and you just life gets a little bit more complex, you just got to go with it.
Make it up as you go along.
Absolutely. 110%.
Well, thank you again. Thank you so much.
Oh, my pleasure.
Yeah, I appreciate you giving up your time because I know time is precious and especially with your exhibition coming up. So,
well, no, easy peasy. My husband did online shopping last night, so I'm currently not in the shopping centre, which is just fantastic.
Well, that's always a good thing. How awesome was that? And what a fun and inspiring conversation. I hope that you enjoyed it and please do share it over on Instagram. I love it when you guys do that. It is such a wonderful way to say thank you to the artists that come on the show. And I hope you'll join us again next week.